Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent. Look at somebody you know is just a big sinner and say repent right now. Look at someone you think might be a sinner. Amen. Tell them repent. Now is your time. Repentance is always good. Repentance is always good. Everybody wants God to change their life, but nobody wants to repent. And change in any way for us will only come as a result of some form of repentance. So it's always good to repent. People think whenever God comes to tell them, you repent, then God's out to do them in or that something's wrong. Well, God's just ready to make some things better. Because the devil has no authority over the believer's life. Look at somebody and tell them that. The devil has absolutely no authority in your life. And you want a positive change to take place. You want something to happen, right? So, it starts, where does change begin? God says, I'm going to go right to the person that's in charge of this life. And I'm going to tell them to repent. So if you want a better life, if you want things to improve in any way whatsoever, God says to you, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Everybody, look at somebody and say, everybody needs to be baptized. Now, we always just get into the symbolization of it and, just the physical act of it, which is very important, and we do need to do that. But you know what? What's more important than that is why we baptize. It says, repent and be ye baptized, every one of you. Look, that man was a trip. He was preaching to a bunch of people, and I'm sure they didn't like to hear what he said. And he said, repent and be baptized. I'm sure there were some people there who say he was talking to that one over there. That's how it is in church. We always say he's talking about this one over there. Every single ass one of you. Look, it say every one of you. Repent and be baptized. Now, that word be baptized is like this. Baptism is a symbol of what? What does baptism represent? It represents death. Everybody say death. It represents death. Baptism means death of old life. When you go down into the water, it's like you're going down into the ground and you leave the old man, the old mindset, the old ways, old habits, old desires, old dreams. That's what you leave under the ground. It's like a funeral and a birth at the same time. And we can say that to one another. You need to repent and drop dead. And you will never come back to life again until you experience the death and crucifixion of flesh. As we crucify our flesh, we really begin to realize how much life we really have. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Why? For the remission of sins. And you will receive, somebody say, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does that mean that a person needs to be water baptized before they can be filled with the Holy Ghost? No. Why? Because there was a passage of Scripture when the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they were water baptized. They said, how can we forbid these to be baptized having received, that they received the Holy Ghost just like we received it? And then they want to baptize them. So the real issue is the fact and realization is that everybody needs to change their mindset and die to the flesh. And we need to get bold in Jesus Christ sometime and tell people, I'm tired of this stuff in you. Drop dead. That's the old man. Somebody say the old man. We told people you cannot train the old man. You cannot teach him new tricks. He does not know how to behave himself. I tell you what, the old man was a citizen in the kingdom of hell. He was destined for hell. The old man, any unregenerated soul is on its way to hell. That's where it belongs. Now, you can take person out of the ghetto, but sometimes it's hard to get the ghetto out of the person. Now, you could take somebody out of the sticks, and sometimes it's hard to get the sticks out of some people. Every once in a while, you'll take an old country person out to a nice restaurant, sooner or later, they'll be picking their teeth with the fork. It's hard to get it out, right? Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with people. We can take them, you know, out of the world, but at times it's hard to get the world out of the old man. It won't go. It will not leave. So you know what you got to do? You've got to shoot it. I'm serious. You got to put her down. Somebody say, put it down. Everybody is afraid to put things to sleep. You ever seen people that got animals and dogs? I mean, dogs just like three, I mean, stinking, already has rigor mortis, but it's still breathing, but they still won't put the thing down. Dogs walking around with two legs. Take it to the vet again. Give it a little bit more time. That dog doesn't even know what's going on. But they refuse to put the thing down. Somebody say, put it down. Well, that's the thing with people's flesh and their old way of life, their old mentality, and their old thinking. They're holding on to stuff that's dead. It's not going to produce anything for them. It's not going to do anything for them. But they refuse to put it down. And we need to get real bold. So I say, you cannot train it. You must crucify it. Well, it's the way with the old man. That person needs to go to sleep immediately. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so many people want to have the gift of the Holy Ghost with the old man. There is nothing scarier. They can't dwell. They try sometime, but they can't. Listen, there is nothing scarier than the devil with the choir robe on. And that's what it looks like sometimes with saints. It's like the devil with a choir robe on, or the devil in a priest costume, devil with the nun's outfit on. That's the way some saints are. We put on all the religious acts, all the religious games, all the facades. We know exactly what to say. But you still got horns. You still look like a devil. There is nothing scarier, somebody say scarier, than someone that tries to put the Spirit of God over uncrucified flesh. It says, once you're baptized, once you've died to the flesh, once you've repented, once you've changed this head, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the gift of the Holy Ghost will do so many things for us. We want the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. And we have churches and we have ministries where we have these gifts in operations. But it's not able to avail anything. Why? Because the choir that's singing never crucified the old man. Everybody say spiritual gifts. The best thing that you can do before you even consider walking in a spiritual gift is make sure you've repented, that you don't have the old mindset. Make sure you've been baptized, that you've died to the flesh.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way.
Somebody said, there is a better way. I thank God for the grace of the Holy Ghost, for charisma, for the move of the Spirit of God, for strong empowerments and heavy anointings. But listen, even though we are a full gospel, Holy Ghost filled, charismatic body of believers that flows in the rivers of God, we have always got to know that the Bible says that those things are good and those things are great, but there is a more excellent way. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Was he doing away with the gifts of the Spirit? No, we're going to find that out. Many people think they're doing away with the gifts of the Spirit. No, we need to have it. But they're giving the foundation. What type of individual God wants the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to function and to operate through? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Some say, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. so-called gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues and all that stuff without true love, true developed love in Christ's likeness, it's like sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. This goes along with another scripture that I see that we need to look at. Let's go here. Matthew chapter 5, 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, that means your anointing, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee. Didn't say you have aught against your brother, but says your brother has something wrong, a bone to pick with you. Well, people say that's their problem. Well, you need to do something with their problem before you can say that's their problem. You know, I have to get myself straight. What if I, you know, I'm going to try to walk in righteousness, integrity, and honor and stuff like this. But if I walk in the community, running everybody off the road, cussing every third person out, criticizing people, tearing people up, destroying people, and always doing something bad to someone, how could we get up here and then say, now let me tell you about Jesus? You can't do it. Until, first of all, you can learn to get along with people. Until you can minister in the lobby or in the parking lot or in the bathroom, the grocery store, any of those other places. Don't think that your spiritual gift ministry will be accepted and received. Jesus taught these things. Leave your gift on the altar just for a moment. Because gifts are to be given to others. These spiritual gifts are to help other people. Somebody say, leave it alone for a moment. I'm not trying to discourage anyone from flowing in the Spirit. I'm trying to let you know the importance of the things you need to do before you flow in the gift. I'm not trying to get you, well, you just need to stop and don't even use it. You just need to shut your mouth and don't you ever say nothing else. You're a hypocrite. Don't nobody want to hear you? No, that would be wrong. Well, if you aren't doing certain things, you do need to shut up. But it's more important that you shut up and make it right so you can talk again. God doesn't want anybody to shut up forever, but he wants when we do speak it to be accepted. So I say, prepare yourself for ministry. It says, leave thy gift at the altar and go thy way first. Somebody say, first, be reconciled to thy what? To who? Say, who? Now, there are certain people that will never be your brother. Some people, no matter what you do, it's not going to matter, so leave them worry about them. It didn't say, go be reconciled to your enemy. There are some people that no matter what you do, they're always going to have a hang-up. And that is their problem. So you just check your... I'm talking about brother. Amen? You go and reconcile yourself to your brother. Don't be going and calling... Well, some people get saved, and they go calling everybody they know, bringing up all this other stuff. Some folk are just nuts, and you need to leave them alone. If it's over, let it be over and keep going your way. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't get all worked up about it. Don't talk about them and leave them to Jesus. But don't go, because certain people won't walk through and work through anything. Bible says don't meddle with people that are given to strife. So if you got a problem with somebody else, that's got a problem with everybody else, don't even worry about it. Some people we offend. We can offend people. And if you offend a brother or sister in Christ, someone that's trying to walk right, you know, you offend them, you have a responsibility to go back and make it right. But some people are just an offense waiting for an opportunity to manifest. Some people, I mean, they're just looking for you to do the wrong thing. They wish somebody would start something this morning. They wish Pastor would say something to set them off. I knew he'd say it. Here we go. There she go. I'm ready for you now. That's it. Here we go. Time to get right in here this morning. Well, that's the way people are. My last pastor did that. My last pastor said that. So I say offenses waiting for an opportunity to manifest. Now, you got to learn this. People will always get offended in church. And I used to get upset every time somebody got offended in church, thinking, well, gosh, I couldn't say anything. Lord, just get worked up. And then I realized people will always, yeah, that's it. People will always, some folk will always be offended and upset. And you got to learn to let it roll off your back. And you just be nice and say, you have the problem. And I say this all the time. They'll need me before I need them. And mean it. We're having fun in here this morning, but it's the truth. There are certain people you need to make things right with before you offer your gift, and some you just need to leave alone. It says, first be reconciled to their brother, then come and offer your gift. So say, get it right and go on. It doesn't mean you got to work it all out. You just go say, listen, if you're wrong, just say, hey, look, I'm sorry for offending you, whatever else it is. Please forgive me and mean it. Some people go to repent and they just tell the person off again in a sweet little way. That's not repentance. That's not trying to make stuff right. Listen, you got to do things because you want to be right with God. Stop trying to win every argument. Whoop-de-doo. We got to win every argument. We got to have the last word or whatever. You know, we got to get to the point, listen, I want to be right with Jesus. I'm sorry for whatever I did, even though you may be right overall. Find out what you did wrong and fix that and go on with Jesus. And if they go off and say, yeah, I knew you were a dirty, nasty dog, well, bless you. Hallelujah. And you just say, I'm going to go on with my gift. You live that way, you'll be all right. Then you can go on and offer spiritual gifts. We cannot turn the body loose in spiritual gifts until we learn to walk in this. God says he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh, right? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Well, what kind of, somebody said, repented, rejuvenated flesh. We can't learn to minister to one another until we learn to be nice to one another. And churches that are nice to one another grow faster than churches that are mean to each other and prophesy to each other after they do it. You ever seen people tell each other off in prophecy? I was at one church. They were around in a circle holding hands, and they were having a prayer group. And someone said, there's somebody in this room. The Lord says unto thee that there's somebody in this room, and they've been smoking, they got a bad attitude. If they don't stop, God's going to kill them, and it's you. And then they say, and it's you, Joan. We have to be really careful. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I got to go on. All right. But I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Thank God for the move of the Holy Ghost. But there's only one thing better than a Holy Ghost-filled church. That's a Holy Ghost-filled church that can walk in love. Now, excellent has to do with perfection, right? And we know that being perfect is what? Being ready for use. When God says, be ye perfect, as I am perfect, it says, be ye ready for use. Well, what kind of people can God use? People that he fills with the Holy Spirit, like in the second chapter of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he gave them graces and anointings, and they were able to do ministry, right? Well, what kind of people did he fill with the Holy Ghost? Those that had been baptized and those that were repentant. Then he filled them with the Holy Ghost, and then he could use them. It says this, and though I have the gift of prophecy, so even if you have the gift, so say, even though you got the gift, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Some say, even though I know it all. He said, even if you do know it all, even if you are the big mighty prophet, and though I have all the faith. Some say, though I've got more faith in here than everybody. So there are some people, we walk like that someplace. Sometimes we do. I got all the faith. I know it all, got it all, have it all, can do it all. Well, see, sir, people get licensed. So it says, because I know it all, I can do it all, and that gives me a license to be any kind of way I want to be, to act any kind of way I want to act. Some say, even though you do. Some say, even though I had faith that I could move mountains. Even though we've been through the faith seminar, even though we've been at Nations Church for 7 or 8, 10, 12 years, and have not charity, say, I'm a know-it-all nobody. See, we got to learn that term. And we got to have that little secret code. Somebody say, learn the code. Saints learn the code. You see them coming in. Somebody say, you'll see them. They'll come and go. That's a know-it-all nobody. It says, though I can do all these things that I am nothing, it means it right here. It says, listen, not even one man or woman. It means a nobody. We all want to puff up ourselves to be somebody. And we want to use our spiritual gifts and our graces and our anointings in order to be somebody. Well, that grace and that anointing and that gift is not you. That's Jesus anyhow. What do you have? Even though I can preach and prophesy and do all this other stuff, I can do all these great things for God and still be nobody. That means he won't even know your name. Remember when they said, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do all these things in your name? I did this. Somebody say, I did this. I did this. And I did all this stuff. And he said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Why didn't he know them? Because they were never there. Because they were a what? A nobody. That means they were someone that did all these spirit. Somebody say, even charismatic. They were even charismatic and they could do all these things, but they did not have the foundational thing of love. And you turn out to be nobody. Somebody say, it's not credited to your account until you're somebody. You got to have a Social Security number for the government to even register you. And you don't have a Social Security number, as far as they're concerned, you're nobody. You're not going to collect anything when you retire. Well, it's the same thing in heaven. You're not going to get anything credited to your account until you become somebody in the earth. And you can only become somebody in the earth by walking in love. Not by being big spiritual giant. Not by doing all this stuff. You got to be somebody. Walk in love. I'm teaching this love stuff because we're going to be getting into the gifts of the Spirit because we've got powerful, anointed people that God wants to use. And I want all that stuff to be used for your good and used to your account. But I got to get you an account number. You want to store up things and save up things for the kingdom to come, and you have no account to put it in. You can only get a number. You can only get an account by being somebody, by walking in love, crucifying the flesh, doing all these things that God tells you to do. Then you get a number, then you can start. You can have one person that takes $10 to the bank and gives it to the teller and says, put this in account number 789210. Then another person can walk up there with $50,000 and put it on the desk and say, you know, and walk on. Both of them are going to try to pull that money out. And only one going to get that $10. The other one just lost everything they had. You better get yourself an account number by walking in the love of Jesus Christ. Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? I could run Nation's Church, build the thing up, and do all this great stuff, prophesy, heal all these people, do all this other stuff, and then go to heaven and say, man, here I go. Thank you, Jesus. Who are you? There was one guy that tried to cast out a devil. He saw Paul and the other apostles and different people casting out devils. And he went to go cast out a devil. They said, this one I know, that one I know. Who are you?
They said, you don't have an account here.
Somebody say, declined. They were declined in their ability because they were nobodies. Somebody say, a nobody. But God wants you to be somebody. We got to be like Jesse Jackson said, I am somebody. Everybody stand up and say, I am. You got to walk in love. Everybody stand up. Say, I am. Somebody. Say it one more time. I am. Somebody, because I walk in love. And though I bestow all my goods to the needy, to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. It's talking about flowing with the Holy Spirit and having love in your heart. And if you have love in your heart, you'll be able to do those things, but it's not necessarily become a part of a charitable organization. It's talking about love. Somebody say supernatural love. The love that Jesus has for others is the love that we need to walk in. Not mushy, gooey, ooey feeling stuff that doesn't profit anybody anything. We got to have the love of Christ. So even though you do nice things, sweet little things, if you haven't conditioned yourself to walk in the love of God, and the flow in the divine love of God, it's not going to profit. Somebody say profit you anything. That means you're not going to put anything in your account when you don't have that number. This is how you can tell if you got an account number. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4. Charity, somebody say love, suffers long. Somebody say, you got to be able to put up with some stuff. If you're always popping off and can't put up with anything, guess what? You don't have an account number. You're doing all that stuff, amen, but somebody else is getting paid for what you do. Someone said, you got to be able to hold on. That means even here at the church, we get people that can't suffer through anything. They can't suffer through a long service. They can't suffer through something going wrong. They can't suffer without a ministry. They can't suffer things happening. If you can't put up with stuff, you don't have love. Love helps you put up with stuff and get over some things and stick to it. You got to develop some stick to it and some ability to suffer and wait on God and be strong and be able to get over stuff. We are all a part of our family, and we're going to do some stuff to tick each other off. But you got to suffer through those things. Some say, I can hang. We're like that. Somebody say, amen. I can suffer through this and we can make it so I can get an account number. There are a lot of people, listen, that don't have any account with God whatsoever because they're not able to suffer through anything. They'll go to this little church, do a couple good deeds. Go to that church, do a couple little good deeds. God doesn't want you to go running, doing little deeds everywhere and here and there. God wants you to plant it someplace, find some people to love, get in fellowship with them, and hang on no matter what. Don't leave until God shows up and says, it's time for you to go.
Right.
Stick it out.
Amen.
You got to make up your mind. That's what I'm with. Hey, this is it. Long suffering. It suffers long. Somebody say, and is what? Kind. This is the more excellent way. Listen, people that can make a church grow. The more excellent way to make a church grow, we can have these gifts of the Spirit and these anointings and these graces, but get people that can suffer long. So we said, those are the excellent ones. Those are the ones that God can use. Those are the ones that are ready for use. We said a more excellent way or a more perfect way, these are the people that are ready to be used of God. Not those that are appear to be something, but are really nobody. The people that are somebody are those that can stick in there and suffer through some stuff. And no matter what circumstance, kindness. Somebody say kindness. So what's greater than someone that could prophesy with tongues of men and angels? What's great? Somebody that can stick it out and be kind and then prophesy. Do the bottom line and then put that on top of it. Those are the ones that are ready. So when we say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? That means, listen, I'm ready to stick it out no matter what comes, and I'm going to be kind. Somebody say, it envieth not. See, you're not ready to use if you're always getting mad when somebody else gets to do something. Well, what about me? There she go again. Always worried about what somebody else got and what you wish you could have. Somebody say, you're not ready. If you spend more time worried about what somebody else is doing, what somebody else has got, you're not ready. Are you ready? So say, charity, love that's ready, vaunteth not itself. What is vaunteth not itself? Somebody say, it doesn't brag, and it doesn't boast. But I've known people, you talk to them, and every time you found out exactly what they did the last week. They raised four people from the dead. Y'all remember? You know, I put my hand on this one. They wouldn't stop laughing. They couldn't get up off the floor. Never talk about Jesus, how good Jesus is, what the Lord did, how wonderful Jesus is. But they were always talking about how anointed they were, how powerful they were, and how God was moving on them. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Somebody say, love vaunteth not itself. People that are always bragging on themselves and talking about themselves, listen. Somebody say, they are not ready to be used. We get it here, some of you that know, we get preachers that come through. You know, they can't just sit through a service. A couple of them, you know. They're going to tell you about the last eight meetings they were in, and all that God does for them. When you going to give me a meeting, Pastor? You're not ready. Because love is what's going to get something done. You can't do anything. You're a nobody. But the anointing of God will get what we need to get done done. And you're not ready to get out of the way so the anointing can get in the way and do something. Some say vaunted, not itself. Strong people can hear messages like this and survive and hang on. And you need strong words and strong messages like this to get in the bottom of your heart so that you can not be like every little else looney tune and flake out there. You'll be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the anointing of God, but also stable in your flesh. Some say they are not puffed up. Puffed up means, so to say, sense of blowing or to inflate. They don't always blow smoke and inflate things. There are some people that go to the same or at a same event that you were at. But by the time you hear them tell the story of somebody else, you're going, was I really there? You know, 10 people in there. But by the time you tell the story to everybody else, and 78 of them went out under the Holy Ghost. And then the angels flew down from heaven. Somebody say, blow it up. Make it big. Someone say, people that blow stuff up and inflate things. Listen, if we inflate Nations Church beyond what it really is to others, we're not ready to be a church. And we're not going, someone say, we don't have to inflate it. Inflation. Someone say, inflation. That's a big problem in the body of Christ right now. Don't puff stuff up and lie about stuff. We treat our churches and stuff like we do Mattress Max. Sale. Everything going on. Big screen. Big. Stop inflating stuff. You know, you can tell when the anointing of God is not someplace when people try to sell their church, they try to sell their ministry. They start to inflate stuff, start to blow stuff up. And the gold dust fell from the ceiling. The gold dust fell from the ceiling. And this one fell. This one died. It is lying. Pray, and I've seen it. We had one thing. Somebody fell out under the Holy Ghost. I'm going to talk about it. Somebody say, because we have to know what inflation is. Somebody fell out under the Holy Ghost. Sent out a newsletter, fell out of the Holy Ghost and laid there for about 15, 20 minutes or an hour, just laid there. Yep, said they died. You heard that one? Fell out under the Holy Ghost and then woke back up and said, I was dead. But I raised myself back up. And then they go and tell they had the power to raise the dead. Somebody say inflation. You don't have to inflate stuff. You know, that's a scary thing. People running you off to every meeting, every little thing because of inflation. All these stories. I'm so mad I used to run to every little meeting that came to town because I'd believe everything somebody told me. I was there, and guess what happened? And you go there. How many been there, you know? You go there, and sister with Mr. Microphone walks out behind the kitchen sink. Inflation. That person is not ready to be used. And that person won't be a part of the revival either. Because they're what? Somebody say, they ain't there. It's fake. It's a nobody. That means they're not proud and inflated and all this other stuff. Does not behave itself unseemingly. That means you got a little bit of class and you know how to act. People think just because they got the Holy Ghost gives them the license to act ignorant. That means you can act right. The spirit of prophet is subject to the prophet. Somebody say, does not behave itself unseemingly. There are certain people that want you to give them meetings and do stuff. We had one guy that used to come around. You know, and he always had something that God was doing. But he couldn't control himself. Why would I want to give somebody that can't control himself a meeting? He doesn't even know how to behave himself. So he's not able, somebody say, not ready for use. You can't even take an untrained dog to a dog show. Right? Write that down and put it in your notes. You can't take an untrained dog to a dog show. But we can take undisciplined, unruly saints to any kind of meeting in any type of atmosphere. So say, not ready for use. Seeketh not her own. Somebody said they're not seeking their own. You got to realize, listen, you cannot have an agenda. When you go someplace, God will send you places, you cannot have an agenda. You've got to have the mind of Christ and be open to what God wants to do. Not easily provoked. Somebody say they don't provoke. Now, we think not easily provoked to go off. We lessen it down to that, say they're not easily provoked to go off. That means, you know, not easily, that means you can say stuff to them, they're not going to go off if you say something. There are certain people, I mean, you're scared to even rub against them the wrong way. You don't know what's going to happen. I'll go off in here. But listen, this is better. This is better than that. Listen, people that are ready to use are not easily provoked to even think. I mean, you're not even provoked to think the wrong thing. You see somebody, listen, you're not even, when you do something wrong, you're not even provoked to think the wrong thing about your brother or sister. Not even to think it. More or less, say it or do it. So you say, if you're provoked to think ugly, you're not ready. We have got to guard our minds and our spirit never to think evil about anybody or anything. We got to walk in love and grace. God said, Brother Rod, I'm not going to use you or anybody that's provoked to think the wrong thing. Think the right thing. God might want to use you to bless somebody, but if you're always thinking evil, you're not going to be open to and released to be what God wants you to be to somebody. You can't think evil of somebody in ministry. What if God wants you to bless Billy and all the time you're thinking negative stuff about Billy? You're not going to be able to be used. You've got to be open. You can't be provoked to think evil about anybody because God wants to use you for everybody. You got to be clear. You don't have time to be mad at people and upset with people and thinking the wrong thing. You got to think right at all times because God wants to be clear. Be clear. Sometimes things you know are true. You know stuff that's wrong about people and it's true. But you got to be clear. Know the truth and walk in love, but be clear. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't get caught up in a bunch of mess, but be clear. Somebody say, I'm not going to think evil. They got a problem, I'm going to let them have the problem, but I'm not going to think evil. I'm just going to go on. Some people can't be used of God because they're always mad or always upset or always thinking about something that somebody did to them or whatever. You've got to be clear if you're a minister of the Holy Ghost. We've learned in God's Generals class about John Alexander went down there and ran that big meeting in Madison Square Garden because his feelings got hurt. He ministered out of hurts and wounds. He was not clear. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. But before you can flow in the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to have this in the foundation. This is more important than pushing people on the floor and raising the dead. This is more important. Before you raise the dead, raise yourself up to a higher mentality. I want to be right. Want to be ready for use. Ready for use. God wants to do more in our life. He wants to get more out of us. And God said, listen, you can do all those things, but until you do these things, none of it's going to be applied to your account. Rejoice is not in iniquity. Rejoice is in the truth. Someone said, doesn't rejoice in iniquity. There will always be iniquity around someplace. Misery will always love company. And there are some people that loves to be around miserable, bitter, strife-filled, corrupted, screwed-up people. They rejoice to be there. They can't wait to get with the group that has a problem or the group that's mad about somebody. People that can't keep themselves away from the people that are upset are not ready for use.
Now let's go on.
But they rejoice in the truth. They get happy when they hear what God's going to, the truth about something. Somebody say amen. Somebody say they beareth all things. Somebody say they can handle it. Y'all get some rough messages. You know, we really get some stuff that's a lot to swallow. People that are ready to use can bear everything that God's trying to give them, and they can handle it. Somebody say, take it and digest it. God will not put more on you than you can handle. So if you hear it from here, guess what? You got to tell the devil, I can handle it. I can bear it. Somebody say, amen. I'm going to swallow that whole message. Ooh. Somebody say, bear it. If you can take it, you can make it. Somebody say, bear it. Somebody say, can't stand the heat or the pressure. We want to have glory with no weight. The glory of God represents glory. The glory of God filled the room. That means density, pressure, and heat. That means it's a little bit of pressure there. It causes some things to happen. It's heavy. Somebody say, believeth all things, hopes all things, endures all things. People that are ready to use believe that God wants to do something, and they expect it to happen, and they wait there until it gets done. Those are the people that can get something done. You believe God wants to do something in Nations Church, you expect it to happen, and you're going to wait it out. Some people, well, I don't know where it's going to happen or not. It hadn't happened yet. You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. Charity, somebody say, love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, that means you can prophesy all you want to, they shall fail. Somebody say, prophecies and all that stuff, they will fail. Yes. Whether there be tongues, somebody say, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, somebody say, when that which is perfect will come. Now listen, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be prophecies, they shall fade away, and all that other stuff. Listen, those kind of people come and perish. Those kind of people that got all those giftings and got all those things without the love of God on the inside, they come and go. They come and they cease. They come in full of the Holy Ghost. You've seen them. I've seen them come in full of the Holy Ghost. Get mad, then they're gone. Then they cease. They can't pray in the Holy Ghost anymore. Somebody say, they cease. Because somebody gave, they got an attitude, so they stopped praying. I'm not praying anymore. I can't pray in the Holy Ghost anymore. Whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Somebody say, they'll fail. How does a prophecy fail? They come in with the word of God. You know, they're proper. They're in the right attitudes. They can prophesy something good. Then they get mad. Then they prophesy something bad. Somebody say, then they'll fail in prophecy because they didn't have the foundation of love. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. There have been a lot of people that spoke in tongues in Nations Church. Where'd they go? Somebody say, amen. Where there be knowledge, somebody say, they were know-it-alls. I know exactly how to work this out. Somebody say, they shall vanish. What happened to Sister Know-It-All? Anybody see Brother Know-It-All? Hey, Know-It-All, where you at? Somebody say, they vanish. But people that can just love God and hold on. Keep all that extra spiritual stuff and get into it, but you get the foundation stuff and rate and see the end. But the more excellent way, somebody say excellent or perfect, means ready for use. You're the people that are ready to be used by God. Because you're not basing it on the other stuff, you're basing it on the love of Jesus Christ. But when that which is perfect, then that which is in part, somebody say, they only got part of it. You catching it? That which is in part, they only got half of what they need to get something done. Somebody say, half cracked. There are a lot of half cracked people. Get out of my seat. I ain't sitting there. What they singing that song again for? Some say half cracked, half baked. Go back in the oven of the Holy Ghost. Really scary. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, somebody say, will be done away with. Thank God. Thank God. I'm ready for that which is ready to be used. Let's get done with the other and put it away. I'm not saying I'm putting away prophecy, the gifts. I want to always see that in manifestation, but I want to see it flowing in people that can walk and grow and be motivated by love. Some say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, but when I developed love and became somebody. Some say, when I became somebody, I put away childish things. For we now see in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. So we say, now abides faith, thank God for it, hope, and charity. These things, these three, but the greatest, I'm going to say the greatest of these is charity. So therefore, brothers, follow after charity and desire. Some say, follow charity and desire spiritual gifts. Why don't you put your hands up and say, Father, we thank you that we are growing up in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Take this message that was delivered unto us and plant it deep within our hearts and teach us how to walk in it and be effective. I want to be somebody in your kingdom. I want to be somebody. I want to open up an account today in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Now just pray over that for 3 seconds. Just open up your account right now in 3 seconds. And realizing only when you're flowing in this mindset will you be able to make deposits. To check yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Only when you're in that mindset are you able to make deposits into your spiritual or your heavenly account.